So hey guys, what's up? It's Nathan Telson here, and welcome back to the Legends Lovers podcast. I'm so glad to kind of get back into it. I had a Friday off from work, so you know I'm gonna hook up the podcast and record a few episodes. That way, you guys can have some cool content. But to start it off, almost like 9 or 10 months ago, honestly, I think it was probably September, October. I got a request to do an Ahsoka episode, and I'm like, hey, we're about to get an Ahsoka show, what, in a few months, maybe a year, I don't know, I don't remember when we're getting the Ahsoka show, but it's gonna come out, and that's pretty cool. And I was like, hey, why not? I don't need a lot of research to, you know, look up Ahsoka Tano. I've been a fan of hers for years, you know, from the Clone Wars, so like everyone knows Ahsoka. So just kind of going into that for a little bit. First off, like, she's like one of like the top like 10 characters in Star Wars overall, especially from an animated series. It's pretty cool how much more popular she's come since the Clone Wars movie. You know, like there were some problems with that movie. But the way the character has developed, over the years is pretty, pretty cool. So yeah, Ahsoka, if you guys don't know, is Togruta, and she has I don't know if they're the Leku. That's what I know Twi'leks are called, but they're white and blue. And then she actually has blue eyes, if you didn't know that. And then orange skin. And so yeah, that's kind of what she looks like. I don't know if you know what a Togruta is, but Ahsoka is a great example of a Togruta. So basically, if you want some background on Ahsoka, and this is just kind of some cool information on Ahsoka if you guys wanted to know, but Ahsoka was first introduced in the Clone Wars movie, and then when that got, I think, some decent reviews, George Lucas, I don't even know if he decided to make the Clone Wars TV show because of the reviews, but he wanted to do it. So she first showed up there, and there obviously were a little bit of problems, you know, with the R2E, I don't know, and Snips, and Sky Guy. I don't know that Snips was really a problem, but Sky Guy, they were just, I don't want to say problems, but it's just kind of weird. It's not Star Wars-y, you know? So some people like it, some people don't. I'm kind of in the middle. Sometimes I'm like, yeah, and then sometimes I'm like, eh. But the way the character developed out of that, I think, plays really well, and it shows maybe her immaturity a little bit. But, so she was a Padawan who, was found, by Master Plo Koon, and he brought her to the Jedi, temple, and she received, training there, from Grandmaster Yoda, as well, for a little bit. And then she was assigned to Anakin, which we already kind of talked about. He nicknamed her Snips at first, but, they kind of developed a little bit more of a friendship after that. And just, she did all kinds of stuff. Like in the Clone Wars movie, she rescued, you know, what was his name? Rhoda or Stinky Rhoda. I think his name was Stinky. That's like his nickname, I think. The Hutt, back to his father, Jabba the Hutt. And so she kind of was a commander, right? Yeah, she was a commander in the Grand Army of the Republic. And one thing that I found actually very interesting, and this kind of explains, this is a little tidbit about Rex. Captain Rex, the reason why he was a captain and not a commander was because under a general, like, you know, Anakin is General Skywalker, not Commander Skywalker, but General Skywalker, they could only have one commander. So Ahsoka was the commander for Anakin. So if Rex wanted to be promoted to commander, he would have to leave Anakin and Ahsoka. And so because he didn't want to do that, he maintained and kept the role of captain, which I thought was really cool. I don't know if that's 100% canon, but it makes a lot of sense. And it just kind of gives a little bit more meaning to why he's Captain Rex. Also, if you say Commander Rex, it just doesn't sound right. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. Maybe for other people, it's like, oh, that's so cool, Commander Rex. But for me, Captain Rex just sounds better. Like, even after, because in season 7, he got promoted to captain, commander, because they needed a commander. I still kind of, you know, call him Captain Rex, and I probably always will. It's like, I struggle with Grogu, not because I don't like Grogu, but because Baby Yoda, you know what I mean? So spoiler alert for those of you who haven't watched Mandalorian season 2, but if you haven't, I'm sorry. You're gonna have to deal with it. I apologize. But Ahsoka really developed over the years. I like there was a big shift. You could tell, like, as far as not only quality of animation, but just like the way her character changed. She like became more of a younger adult, like not as much as a teenager, but kind of like, 18 as far as mindset. And I think that was kind of when Dave Filoni took over the show, what, season 4, season 3-ish. And so she did all kinds of stuff. She fought Zygerian slavers, and there's all kinds of stuff, as far as, on the Wikipedia. But basically, she and if you don't know Ahsoka, she got rejected, or blamed for the murder, or it was a bombing at the Jedi Temple, in one of the hangar bays, and she got framed for that. And so they held her on trial and stuff like that, and they ended up imprisoning her. And then one of the actual bomber, or one of the people who kind of, who I think she was also framed for the bombing, or she was manipulated into helping out with the bombing and creating the nanotech. Ahsoka went to interview her, and then someone force choked her, and Ahsoka was like, "Oh my gosh, I gotta help you." And the way she held her hands, it looked like she was force choking the witness. And so that also added to the fact that everybody thought she was guilty. And then the Jedi Council like went along with, they didn't support her. They went ahead and was like, "Okay, yeah, it's her." Like, even though they might not have 100% believed it, they're like, "Oh, we can't do anything." So they really didn't support her that much. And so after they figured out that it was actually one of Ahsoka's friends, and that it wasn't Ahsoka, and that her friend got, like got in prison and stuff and suffered the consequences, Ahsoka was set free, and she was given her title back and everything like that. But she was just like thrown under the rug the instant something bad happened, and so that she left the Jedi Council because of that. So that kind of, that was season what, 5, I think. And I remember thinking of that, and I was like, well, what's the point of watching anymore? I was younger, and I was like, I don't care. But actually, anyways, as far as Clone Wars, and I'm glad I did, but it kind of stunk because, Ahsoka's gone. And then Disney bought the company, and we're like, oh, so we're never gonna hear, because in one of the novels about Ahsoka, they kind of go on to the Siege of Mandalore, the last arc of the Clone Wars season 7. And it kind of writes out that I don't believe it's canon anymore. It used to be. It might still be canon. But we were always like, well, how did we get there, And so in season 7, she came back, the Martez sisters, not a big fan of them. The arc itself was okay. I think it was cool to see Kessel and stuff like that. But the actual Martez sisters, not a big fan of. But that was cool to see Ahsoka back. It was kind of a little bit more of a development. I don't think that it was a final season arc. They should have had maybe 8 or 9 seasons, because one, they had a ton of stuff in the pipeline before Disney bought the company, and so they could have brought all that back, brought the voice actors back. I'm sure they would have been fine, at least the majority of them, because they all loved it. They would have all been excited. Matt Lanter, Ashley Eckstein, they were all like pumped for the new season. So like, it wouldn't have been a problem to do 1 or 2 more seasons, and I really don't 100% understand why. Like, I get they wanted to wrap it up and finally finish it up, but why they couldn't do one more, because, or at least make the season a full season. Because, like, the Bad Batch arc, while it was a really cool arc, and we got to see Echo back, one, if I had a preference, I would have had them bring back Fives, but bring back Echo back and everything. And the Bad Batch themselves are just really cool. I love their armor. I'm a big fan of red and black. But it's not a final season arc, It's not like, oh, this is what we're ending Clone Wars with. This is 7-season show, It's big. But the Siege of Mandalore definitely lived up to it. I really enjoyed that in the mall. Because I remember watching Rebels after Clone Wars, before, after, Clone Wars season 6, and but before season 7. And I was like, how does Maul know Ahsoka? Because I went back and looked. They never met. So how does that work? and they fixed that loophole. But, you know, Order 66 happened and she helped Rex out, and we don't really see much of her until she takes on the codename Fulcrum, which Saw Gerrera used in the Clone Wars, I'm pretty sure. I'm a little rusty on that part. And then we see her come back in Rebels and kind of mentor Ezra and Kanan a little bit. And then she dies to Darth Vader, and we're like, oh, that stinks, you know. And I know everyone listening is like, wait, she died? But she was in The Mandalorian. And so Mandalorian is after Rebels. Rebels, season one and season two, I think all the seasons are before A New Hope. I'm not 100% sure on that, but I think they are. I'm like actually 99% positive that they are. But Ahsoka comes back, and because Ezra, if you remember, Ezra goes into the world between worlds, which I think is pretty cool. And a lot of people think that it's a great way to create a multiverse, because then you have all these like different worlds and stuff, and you can bring back the legends. You can bring back Revan. You can bring back like the Thrawn trilogy, like Heir to the Empire and Legacy of the Force, which honestly, like, I love that. But then it kind of doesn't give the sequel trilogy much meaning, which I think I'd be mildly okay with after a little while. But it kind of makes everything more complicated, because then you end up with Marvel and you end up with all the different comics, you know, like obviously there's a bunch of different comics for Star Wars, but it's been deemed legend or canon, and you have those two sets. There's nothing more. That's the bottom line. There's a fine line instead of all of these different stories and stuff like that, like X-Men, like all of that. Everything's like kind of jumbled up. Like Wolverine's an Avenger in some comics, you know, it's just a little bit different. And I think that would kind of mess up Star Wars a little bit, because Star Wars is one, it's like a story about a family. And so it would kind of screw that up a little bit. But she comes back, and Ezra brings her back from the world between worlds, and they meet up. She goes back to her time and he goes back to his. And so they meet up eventually, and they kind of, I don't remember. I don't think they meet up again, actually, because Ezra goes missing. And then in the final episode, Sabine meets up with Ahsoka for what we think is to go find Ezra, but that's after the Battle of Yavin, because we, you know, it gives Sabine gives the rundown of what happened after you know, the first Death Star and everything like that, and after that. And I haven't seen Rebels in a few months now. I haven't watched the final couple episodes, but I'm pretty sure Ahsoka and Ezra don't meet up again. And so that's how we see Ahsoka go looking for Ezra. And so now you're probably wondering, how does she fit into the Mandalorian? So a lot of people don't know exactly when that last episode, or like the last few scenes of that Rebels episode was, because, you know, Sabine's giving the rundown. Yeah, Battle of Endor, you know, Rex was there, and now I'm going to go search for Ezra. But we don't know if that was before or after The Mandalorian Season 2. Because we do know that, Ezra went missing with Thrawn, right? So he went missing for Thrawn. In The Mandalorian Season 2, Ahsoka is fighting the Magistrate, that one episode, and she's like, where is Thrawn? So we don't know if it's after that one episode and Sabine is somewhere else looking for him and they're going to meet up. But I think it's more than likely that she's kind of, you know, like figuring out kind of where Thrawn is or where he might be. And then she's going to go get Sabine and they're going to hook up. I don't know exactly. Personally, I'm undecided on that. But that's kind of where we're at with Ahsoka right now. So obviously the show is going to do a lot more. Hopefully it kind of goes into more with Sabine. That would be cool. And trying to find Ezra, I think that'd be great. But that'd be really cool. And then one more thing before we wrap up. Her lightsabers. She has two different lightsabers in Clone Wars. She has a normal regular one and a Shoto. If you look closely, one of them is longer than the other. I don't think that one's super hard to miss. Except one is green and one is yellow. So if you want to know what that means, go back and check out Color Meanings episode. It's kind of a shorter one. It's pretty cool and interesting how everything works. And that would kind of give you kind of which color means which. But then in season 7, Anakin changes the color to blue. So that's cool. And then also, if you want to know what that means, you can go back and look at my episode or re-listen to my other episode. But then in, you know, Rebels and in Mandalorian, we see a silver. And so that's another cool thing. I think that really adds a lot of stuff because she's not a Jedi. She's not a Sith. It's a little bit different. And it's said that she took the crystals of the Inquisitor's lightsabers, which I think adds a little bit more of lore and is kind of interesting. But the meaning also is in my lightsaber colors episode. So that's pretty much it, guys. If you're listening with a friend or you want to suggest it to someone who listens on a different platform, go ahead and share my website, anchor.fm/legendslovers. It's got all the links there, all the episodes, a Discord that I've made, my email. I think I'm getting a new email soon. So you can still email me, but I probably won't see it because that email is down. So also go check out my other podcasts, the CRL Christian Rap Library. And then also I've made a new podcast called Hats Galore. Not uploading consistently on that. I'm not making an attempt to either. So just any support will be awesome. So with that, if you guys can leave a review on your platform, that would be awesome. If you could make that good, make the review good, that'd be great. But if you're really upset with whatever I said or something, please make it at least constructive criticism. Say, here's a problem and here's how you could fix it. Or if you don't know the solution, just say, hey, here's what I disliked. But everything else is good. You know, just kind of give me a negative and a positive that makes me feel like, oh, hey, they really actually care. And if you don't care, I'm sorry you feel that way. But without further ado, I guess we'll wrap up the episode. So remember, the Force will be with you always.